Welcome back to Rochester Speaks. I'm John Gehring, joined today by Brian Cannell of the Don Litzelman Foundation. And Brian, we're looking forward today to speaking about this foundation and the help that you're providing to cancer patients. So first of all, we have a new website up, donlitzelmanfoundation.org. Could you tell us a little bit, Brian, just about the organization and what you offer to people and how we can help?
Sure. We've been around for about 10 years. Don was a fraternity brother of mine, a college classmate, lived on the same floor, and he passed away in 2012 of brain cancer. So at that time, we decided to take a negative, you know, we as a lot of the guys from those days, from the fraternity, from the college, to turn a negative into a positive. And later that year, we founded the foundation with three missions. First was to help fight cancer. And over the years, we've donated to the Jimmy V Foundation. We have bought equipment and made donations to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, where he got treatment. The second thing on our list was he was a two-time All-American lacrosse player. So we've established some awards both at Geneseo, which is where we all went, and West Genesee High School in Syracuse, where he went to high school. So we annually give out an award in his name to the Attachment of Europe Both Schools. We do also give out a scholarship to a graduating West Jenny player, because that was really important to him. And, you know, as I usually tell everybody, you know, we didn't do this because of the records he set, which he did. We did it because of what he meant to us and what the game meant to him. So that was really the foundation's mission, was helping with cancer. And we also would, not necessarily just cancer patients, but we would just give money to people we found out about who were in need. And then about a year ago, one of the guys involved pulled me aside and just said he wanted to get a little more involved in the foundation. In having a discussion, unfortunately, his wife had been diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of years ago, and she's doing fine now. But we were talking about how difficult it was to navigate that process. And he said, you know, there are organizations that offer financial help, support, but, you know, you're on your own to find them, so to speak. And, you know, it's not a great time for you. You just get this devastating news, and it's not like you're given 6 months to put everything in order. This is happening now, and treatment's happening now. And, you know, I said, well, didn't anyone point you in the direction? He said, no, I was on my own. So we decided that maybe the best way for our organization to help, because we're not a huge organization raising a lot of money, that maybe we could do more good by doing that legwork for patients. If you get a cancer diagnosis, if you come to donlitzelmanfoundation.org, we've got a list of, and certainly I wouldn't pretend it's a complete list, but I think we just added our 12th organization, but we've got a list of organizations that you can go to get help. So we've started you going, at least in one place you can come to check it out, see the requirements. I mean, they will give you financial aid for things like medications, copays, in some cases, health insurance premiums, obviously unreimbursed medical expenses. There are some that will give you help for transportation, including for a caregiver. And I mean, rides locally, but also flights if you're going out of town. There are organizations that can give you lodging. So our goal was to become a resource that if you came to our website, it would get you started. I think we have 12 organizations. We also have a page with simply, we call it cancer information, some articles, some tips, things like that, that people can go to and get some motivation and support. As they say, it takes a village to help. Yes. And that's what we're trying to create.
Yes. And again, you can find all of that at donlitzelmanfoundation.org. You see some of the partnerships that you have here, the American Cancer Society, Good Days, Healthwell Foundation, Susan G. Komen, and so many more, like you said. What is the process like to do the research, do the legwork for people? What does that process look like?
Well, and I got an appreciation for what it must be like for these patients, because it's not easy, you know, so you just, obviously we all Google, and I just tried, you know, organizations that provide assistance, but it's time consuming trying to sort through and then trying to get to the organization and find out, I don't know, is this one appropriate for me? Some are specific by disease or by cancer type. You know, there's one, Kylie's Dancing Angels, and certainly we're far from the only organization that's in honor of someone. So Kylie's Dancing Angels is a terrific organization that gives up, but it's specific to sarcoma patients. If you check out the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, outstanding organization, but again, specific to blood cancer. So that's why, you know, we went through and I simply, one by one, I started Googling, I'd see the list and I clicked to see if this seemed like an appropriate organization that could help people. And then I did the best I could to get some information. So if you go to our website and you go to the cancer organization page, each one has like a little panel, a little picture, but there's two links. Yes, obviously there is a link to their website, but maybe more importantly, before you do that, right above it, it just says additional info. So if you just click on that, that's just a couple sentences, a little paragraph to kind of summarize that organization so you can figure out if it's one you want to visit. I did the best I could to say, you know, who's eligible, what do they provide, so that you didn't have to go to the website. We're trying to make it as easy as possible. I've talked to patients that said, you know, my wife has, you know, has been diagnosed with cancer. We have kids. She's sick, and I'm trying to do this for her. And I finally get everyone settled. I have about 20 minutes to do something. And then I start to click and find out before I can apply, I need to have a patient ID, an invoice from a doctor's visit, a specific clinic, you know, things I don't have sitting in front of me. So now she's asleep. I can't get it from her. I just lost my 20-minute window. And it might be another day, two or three, before I can sit down and do this. So we put that on our website. Please check before you, you know, begin the start, say, I'm going to apply. Make sure before you do that, you check to see what they're going to need. And you can gather it so that you don't waste that. And I think more than the time is probably the psychological impact. Like I say, I have this window and I need to get help for her. And I lost that window. And it's going to be another day, two or three. So it's a difficult process. It really is, trying to figure out which organizations can help, what are the requirements. And we can only do so much. I mean, really what we've done is point you in the direction. I have not applied, so I don't have details on the specifics of that. But at least we've begun to put together that list so you don't have to try and do it from scratch. And again, kind of warned you, you know, get some things together. Find out what they're going to require before you say, okay, great, I'm going to click and apply. And then you find out there's a bunch of things you need that you don't have in front of you right now.
We're talking with Brian Cannell of the Don Litzelman Foundation, an organization that helps cancer patients find the resources that can help them through a very difficult time. And Brian, let's go back to talking briefly about Don himself, the inspiration for this organization, who I know was diagnosed and was declining very quickly when you started this in 2012. What was those few months like during the maybe the spring to summer months of 2012, walking by your friend Don as he went through this horrible time and then leading to something good that came out of it, which is this foundation?
To go back just a little, he and I, we were part of a group that we were founding fathers of a fraternity at Geneseo, started it from scratch. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it didn't last. And, you know, life comes, graduation and careers and families. We lost touch. Shouldn't have, but we did. And I think part of what drives us and makes this so special is that story. We had not been in touch for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And Don was originally, he wasn't yet diagnosed. In about 2008, he knew something was wrong. And so he started reaching out and reconnecting with people. He hadn't yet been diagnosed. He was soon thereafter. And he brought us all back together. Unfortunately, the fraternity didn't last. So there wasn't that draw to take us back to Geneseo. But we all started connecting. And he actually was doing pretty well. A couple surgeries. And he was doing pretty well, as they say, until he wasn't. Hmm. And he was up in New Hampshire. So it wasn't local. And in the spring of 2012, he was really declining. And the plan had been for him to move in with his brother who lives in Canandaigua. But he refused to leave before the school year ended because his kids had, you know, his sons both played lacrosse. He wasn't going to leave until those activities. And unfortunately, that it didn't work out for his time schedule. But four of us, I mean, the reason we're doing the foundation, four of us actually did go visit him. Cinco de Mayo, actually, 2012. We knew he was declining. And it was, you know, both a heart-wrenching and uplifting day. You know, it was a difficult day, obviously. But we drove away and angry at ourselves for having lost touch, determined, you know, not to do, you know, to get back in touch, not just the four of us, but everybody. And then a week or two later, we just kept talking and decided we wanted, what prompted this was we wanted to raise some money for his kids. At the time, his sons, I think, were 17 and 15. His daughter was 8. That's what got the whole discussion going. And then it just kept going. Cancer. And what about LeCron? And I'm very fortunate that 2 weeks after that visit, I got to go back to New Hampshire. And I told him about our plans for the foundation. He passed away 5 days later. But he did know what we were planning on doing, which I'm, you know, really grateful for. And now we get together all the time. And what started as 7 or 8 of us in the Rochester area has just exploded. We are a big presence at reunion every summer at Geneseo. We had over 90 guys there last year. Fraternity's been gone for 20 years. So, I mean, it is kind of remarkable. Foundation is booming. In terms of its activity and things like that. Again, we don't raise a ton of money, but we've done some amazing things. I mean, the first person we found out about and helped was a single mother whose 9-year-old daughter was terminal with leukemia. And, you know, we sent her a really nice check, said, just go have some fun with her.
Yeah.
Single mom of four trying to raise money to get to Germany for breast cancer treatment that wasn't available here because nothing here had helped. We helped her do that. So it's been an unbelievable ride over these 10 years. We've donated 3 CO2 incubators to Dana-Farber, which allows them to take cells from live cancer patients and experiment with treatments and keep them in the incubator before actually going live in the patient. They didn't have any. They had some for their research, but they didn't have anybody in any of those in the clinic. We were able to get them 3. So we've done a lot over the years. This is our newest venture that we think can help the most people. We really do. But that's, you know, we came from what was a tragic event and have turned it into an unbelievable positive.
Knowing Don back when you were at Geneseo and then in those last few years of his life, if he could see what you're doing, what do you think he would feel now knowing that?
Grateful. Humble, if that makes any sense. When I talked to him, the thing that got him the most excited is when I talked about trying to help youth lacrosse and doing stuff in lacrosse. He did very, very well in medical sales, but on my visit there, you know, he said he wished that he had become a high school teacher and just coached lacrosse. He coached his sons and, you know, he loved the game. That's what he wanted, you know, wished he had done. So the fact that we're keeping his name and legacy alive is impressive to him. His jersey hangs in a couple of restaurants on Main Street in Geneseo. And in the next month or so, there will be a plaque in his honor put up at the new stadium there. As well as, you know, again, we have the awards that we've done since the spring of 2013 in his name at both schools. And then actually in 2015, we also started doing a couple of other awards at Geneseo because his coach, when he was there his first 2 years, also passed away far too young of brain cancer. So we do an award honoring Coach Paul Rose. And when Don was a freshman, one of the senior captains, also not brain cancer, but an aneurysm at the age of 50. So we do an award for Billy Carraher also. So we, you know, we've tried to honor him, keep his name alive and in that sport that he loves. And that's been, I think he would be really happy to know that.
Brian Cannell of the Don Litzelman Foundation. You can learn more at donlitzelmanfoundation.org. Thank you so much for joining us this week, Brian, on Rochester Speaks. And we look forward to staying in touch with your organization and seeing what we can do to support.
Anytime, John. Thank you.